Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Tor Delco in media today. We're right out here on the street in media. Was that another noise you played there, Tucker?
Did I just hear another?
That was Jack's
chair. Okay, all right. We are in media right next to Spasso and La Katrina for Dining Under the Stars, brought to you by Visit Delco PA. People say Delco is a lot, and they're right. Find out all Delco has to offer at visitdelcopa.com. Joining us now, the great Larry Anderson. L.A., we were hoping that you could make all of us just sort of feel better. Big series, starts off last night, and we end up striking out 25 times and scoring one run and losing to the Braves, who have their entire roster's injured. So could you make me feel better about that?
Yeah, good talk. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah. I think we're just all waiting for this. I keep saying we just keep waiting to feel like we're watching the team that we started to have a lot of faith in a couple of months ago. And it just feels like they've been at this yin-yang where they give us a couple of games where we feel good and then a couple of games where we feel like we already felt. And they just can't string anything together. Have you been in a situation like that? What does that feel like? And is there a way out of it?
I haven't been around a team that is. I mean, I've been on bad teams that were never good, but to be on a team that was the best in baseball for 3 months and then be one of the worst in baseball for a month or so, I can't say as I've been around that. I don't know. It's baffling is what it is. It's something. I don't know. I don't know the history of good teams or really good teams playing really bad for so long. I'm sure it's happened before, but to this extent, I don't know. For me, it just looks like it's a team that's right now not capable of hitting good pitching at all. Mm-hmm. And facing these teams in the upper echelon, the top bracket teams, that they, most of them, the reason they're there is because they have good pitching. And we went 4 out of 6 against the Marlins and the Nationals. But that's the Marlins and Nationals. They're not not above 500 teams or teams that, looking for the playoffs. And so we held our own there, but when was the last time we played really good? I guess the Dodgers on the road, they won 2 out of 3. but their pitching has been decimated as well. So, I mean, I don't understand it. I don't know what it is. I mean, part of it is I hate to put it on, you know, two or three guys, but there's two or three guys that at the bottom of the lineup, the lineup's not getting extended. And I think that's one of the problems. And if you think about all the talk about Rojas and struggling and that, he's hitting better than Marsh and Stott. That should kind of alarm people. It does me. You don't see great at bats. We're not seeing grinding them out. We're, you know, swinging at pitches in the dirt. I don't have any answers. We keep thinking, well, they're going to come out of it. They're going to come out of it. And they keep saying they're going to come out of it. But it's like, okay, when? And, you know, nobody has the answers but those guys. And they can say, yeah, we're going to come out of it. They can say it all they want. But I can say that, you know, I'm a Cy Young winner too. But until I prove it, nobody's going to believe me. And I think that's what we need to see. We need to see results instead of just talking that we can do it.
I'll tell you the other thing that is, I don't know if surprise is the right word. I guess I'm surprised at the level in which they play on the road versus how they play at home. It's just sometimes we just don't seem to have the same energy level when they're on the road. They're two games above 500 on the road. Where there are nearly, 18, 19 games above 500 at home. What is it with this team? Is there something to the whole being at home versus being on the road? They just don't seem to play the same way. They almost seem like they rely. I know Bryce talks about how excited he is when they're on the way back home and feeding off the energy of the crowd. I'm starting to wonder, particularly with him, because this is what I'm really focused on. He's not hitting well on the road. He's 30 points lower on the road than he is at home, and I'm wondering what is that with not just him, but with this team in particular.
Yeah, I that's a great question because I agree with you 100%. I don't know. I mean, again, if we were playing two better teams at home than we did in the last series, I'd be like, well, I'm not so sure we would have hit any better at home. But it's just, I don't know. I have no idea. And I don't see the, obviously when you're not scoring, you feel like, you know, it's easy to say, well, they're not trying or they don't care or that, you know, there's no energy. Well, when you're getting shut down, it always looks like that, you know? It doesn't matter. You can go back and look at the Eagles last year. I mean, they were one of the best teams in the game, and then all of a sudden, what happened? It's like guys didn't stop caring. Guys didn't stop trying. Is it a matter of they just weren't that good, or they weren't playing as good at teams, or did something happen? They just fell apart. I mean, I look at this team, and I'm like, there's so much talent here. And even John Middleton mentioned, you know, these guys have to be accountable to the city, to the organization, to the team, to the fans. And you'd like to see them be accountable, but I don't know. The only way you're accountable is by winning, really, or you know, coming out and just saying, hey, I stink right now. I mean, I remember Scott Rolen saying, hey, will you do me a favor? Will you just, when he was struggling, he had struggled for about 10 days, and he came up to me when I was doing TV, and he said, will you do me a favor? Will you just mention on the air how bad I am? Just tell people that I realize I stink. And I was like, yeah, if you really want me to. He goes, yeah, I absolutely
do. LA said, no problem. Was thinking it for 10 days.
Yeah.
I mean, I would almost love to see somebody come out and say that. Instead of, you know, we're resilient and, you know, we're going to fight back and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. It's like, why didn't somebody come out and say that to me or to Krucky? Like, hey, why don't you just tell the people on the air we stink? Because that's what everybody's thinking. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's I get texts from people constantly from huge fans that love the Phillies. But there's, you know, there's a few that say, well, I think we're going to win. I hope they do good in Atlanta or whatever. But the majority of them are like, this team just stinks right now. What is it? What's going on? I'm like, I don't know. I have no idea. I wish I knew. I wish they knew. But it's, I hate that sounds so derogatory, but I'm talking like from a fan standpoint. I don't think fans are thinking much different than what I'm saying right now is that, you know, they're just not playing good. We're not seeing grinding out at bats. We're not seeing, you know, working pitchers. And I know the guy was good last night, but we swung through a few pitches, and we you know, swung at a number of pitches that never had a chance to be a strike. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead. Well, L.A., you've mentioned the approach at the plate, not grinding out at bats, so on and so forth. People bring up Kevin Long's name, the hitting coach. How much of the – because it seems like it is a team-wide issue, approach-wise, honestly. It doesn't seem like it's one or two guys. How much of that is him, and how much of an influence can he have over the everyday players?
You know, if he sees something that the guy's doing wrong or something like that, I think it's something I think he can correct. I think he's a very good hitting coach, or he has been. His career, his track record's pretty good. But if he doesn't see something mechanical, the rest of it, the mental part of it's up to the hitter. I mean, to me, you go up there and I know I talked about it a lot on this last homestand that we did some little things good. We moved some runners. We had men on second, nobody out. We hit the ball on the right side some, you know, a few times, not all the time. But, I mean, the one thing I question is, like, is any of that stuff ever talked about? Because I know the games come down to walks, strikeouts, and home runs. I mean, that's basically what it comes down to, or that's the way it's being taught. You know, strikeouts for pitchers throwing 100 miles an hour, and then, you know, if you get the guys like that, they don't have the command, so you're walking. And then it's the long ball. Like, there's rarely talk about bunting. And when first and second, nobody out, we go up there and strike out and maybe strike out back to back. And then it's like, oh, wow. Like, what about if, and then maybe a fly ball. What about if we bunt a guy over? What if we bunt two guys over? Can't we do that? Especially if we're down at the bottom of the order with guys that are struggling, we can't have them bunt. Or you know, even if they do it on their own, try and drag bunt or whatever. I don't know, but it's to the approach is when I go up there, I see sometimes guys will go up there and they'll swing at pitches at a foot inside first pitch or a pitch down and away in the dirt. I'm like, when they went to the plate, did they honestly look where that, is that a pitch they were looking for, a pitch that was going to hit them if they didn't swing, but yet they swing at it like first pitch? To me, that just speaks volumes to, I'm going up there and I'm swinging. If I see a pitch coming towards the plate, I'm going to swing. And sometimes that's what it looks like. Not everybody, mm-hmm. but a few guys have done that. And for me, it's just like, I know guys are anxious. Guys want to do a lot. They want to do more, whatever. But if you go up there with a plan, you have a better chance of executing it if you have a plan in your mind, I think. But, you know, I don't know if they're going up there with the plan. If they're saying, I'm going to hit the ball to the right side, I'm going to move some runners, I'm going to, no, man on third, less than two outs, I'm going to try and lift the ball. Maybe they do. I don't know. But it doesn't appear that there's always a plan when they go to the plate. And that's kind of baffling. So, if it's a mechanical thing, I think Kevin Long can help him. But if it's just a mental thing, you can talk to him. But he can't go up there and swing the bat for him or work a pitcher like you'd expect. You know, what was it, the second inning last night, he threw a bunch of pitches, or third inning, whatever. And then the next inning, he's like seven pitches, he's out of the inning. Like,
yeah.
Well, how'd that happen? I don't know.
L.A., the last question, the Alvarado issue. He's obviously been struggling for a long time, walks the bases loaded, and Topper leaves him in there, ends up walking a run in. What did you think of the decision to leave him in there, and is there anything he's still throwing hard. Is there anything you see from him that leads you to believe that there is a way out of whatever he's in right now?
I think Stalker touched on it last night. Just his body language, right out of the chute, it just wasn't good. And you could see him struggling and shrugging his shoulders. And right now, I don't know if Albie believes that he can get somebody out. And I think that's a huge issue. That, you know, I was a little surprised that Thompson kept him in, but if you've got Lazar coming, you know, behind him, that's a tough situation to bring him into. And I think that's why he probably stayed with Albie. But I mean, if a guy's up here, then he's going to have to be thrown into the fire at some point and figure it out. As far as a young pitcher coming in behind Albie, but Albie, I think right now, it just looks like his confidence is gone. Like he's throwing a ball up there expecting to either walk a guy or give up a hit. And you got to have that, you know, we see him sometimes finish an inning or finish a hitter off and pumping his fist. That's kind of gone right now. Cause he's searching for what's going on. He threw some good cutters, but the cutter only helps, I think, if you establish your fastball. I think you could kind of see that with Lopez last night. He had a 97, 98 fastball, and so you got to, you know, be aware of that because he's throwing strikes. But if he's not throwing strikes with his fastball, then you're not going to chase his slider. And I think with Albie, I think he's not consistently commanding his fastball, and so they're just kind of spitting on the cutter at times. And if they get behind, I mean, if he gets behind the hitters are like, I'm just going to wait till he throws me a strike. They're putting the issue back on Alvarez or Alvarado, and he's got to figure it out. I'm not saying it's easy. I've been through situations or times where, you know, you get to a point where it's like, man, have I lost it? Am I ever going to pitch again? Am I ever going to get anybody out again? And those things go through your mind. And I guarantee you that they can say, I believe in myself, I blah, blah, blah. And I can say the same thing too. But it certainly doesn't look like it when I was going through struggles and I couldn't throw a strike. So you question yourself. And once you do that, you're almost already defeated. I think you have to get back to thinking, to me, the thought precedes the action. You have to eliminate, I can't or I have to. And you have to go with, I'm going to. I'm going to throw this pitch right here. And I think, I mean, that's something for the most part, I learned from Lefty about the thought precedes the action. If you think, well, I can't walk this guy, you're going to walk him, most likely. Or if you think, oh, I can't hang this cutter, you're going to hang it. And so you have to get that thought process switched around. You have to force yourself and sometimes maybe even lie to yourself a little bit and go, I can do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to throw this fastball right here. I'm going to throw this cutter right here and believe it. And if you don't, I mean, you're in trouble if you throw the pitch. You have to throw it with conviction. And I don't think he's at a point that he's doing that right now.
Well, L.A., I don't want to hear you upset, but I can tell you this. I do think because fans are as frustrated, they feel good hearing you be frustrated too. And it's not it makes them feel like they're not crazy. So I think it is, again, I like, you know, the guys play me the highlights all the time of super excited LA, and I can't wait to hear that in the playoffs. However, frustrated LA when everybody else is frustrated, I think is makes everyone feel like they're not crazy, as I said. So that part is appreciated. I don't want you to be mad any longer, but upset now, I think it's, you know, I think it works. So I appreciate it.
Well, they win the next two games down in Atlanta and turn things around and get them back on a positive note on the road, I think would be huge. I think they can do it. It's just a matter of they have to go out and do it and show us that they are going to do it. And then the frustration will wear off.
All right, brother. Well, thank you. Your lips to God's ears. Let's take the next two and make pretend this game never happened. So, all right, L.A.
Sounds good, brother.
See you, man. The Alvarado thing feels like we're going to have to get lucky him to and it
it's
is
a hope and a prayer right now.
Well, because it doesn't seem like it's stuff, really. I mean, I don't know, Jackie expert.
I think it's a stuff decline.
Really?
Yeah. Like I think it's confidence too, but I think like we're not seeing the 101 bowling ball kind of sinker.
Right.
Like it's a lot more. He's just trying to get in on guys.
Yeah.
Whereas when he's at his peak, he would get in, but he'd also get to righties, he'd be able to throw that pitch on the outside and locate it. Like, it's more. We've seen more 96s from Alvarado than we've seen in the last couple of years.
Well, yeah, and then when he loses that little bit on the stuff, I imagine he's trying to be too precise,
right?
And then that's why he's throwing.
It just looks flatter to me.
I was never more sure that a pitcher was going to walk a batter than I was when the bases were loaded and he was in there for that fourth guy. And again, I don't have a problem with Topper leaving him in there, but I knew he was going to walk that guy. You know, I knew it. As much as I knew in the top of the eighth that Bryce was going to strike out. And, like, I thought they were going to go down on three strikeouts on nine pitches, actually.
What was it, 10?
It was 10 pitches, yep. Three outs on 10 pitches. Yeah, yeah.
Not bad.
215-592-9494. Chris in Middletown. You're on WIP. What up, Chris?
Guys, it's an honor to foul L.A. I think he speaks for all of us. There's not much more you could probably say, but, you know, let's try and do it anyway.
Yeah, are you, like, where is your belief level, like, as far as a playoff team?
So, I still believe, although I believe differently. Earlier in the year, I believed that, you know, this was just an insane run. They were clearly much different level than anybody else in Major League Baseball. And, you know, they were going to be the team that just kind of walked through and just kind of stomped all over everybody. And now I just realize that they're in the pack with everybody else, and they are human. I still believe in this team. I still believe they're a contender. But kind of going back what Ike was talking about earlier, hey, I just think that it's more realistic. You know, they got that, you know, Spike, you might have said that 10% shot. I believe they have that shot. But, yeah, they're in the mix with everybody else. But speaking of Ike, I need some clarification on your opening rant, which was phenomenal, but you said something, and I need some information. You said you called them red light district players. What? Red light district players.
He was cooking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I almost corrected myself in the middle of that, but I didn't really want to correct myself in the middle of that. So I'm glad you caught on to that, though. Just straight red light players. That's all.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Is it red light district?
Yes, yeah, okay. Yes, yes, okay. Yes. Right. That is red light district. Yes. That is that. Oh, yes. Okay. That is not what I meant.
Okay. Sitting too close to Jack.
Yes.
For, you know, we've had all these remotes, you know.
My antenna went up. Oh. Yeah.
So I just looked up what it was. I didn't know that's what it was.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I was already in the flow. I couldn't go back. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, hey, thanks for pointing it out, though. Yes.
Well, yeah. You know, that's what I'm here for, man.
Accountability. Yes. Accountability.
Accountability. And listen, to Jerry, that phone call was very Herb-esque. Very Herb-esque call by Jerry. The truck horn guy.
Yeah, he was in his own zone today.
Yeah, and you know what? He had to go eventually. Unfortunately for us, he couldn't give us any more time. But, yeah, it was an all-timer from Jerry. And by the way, I would like to see Jack versus Jerry, pitcher versus pitcher versus batter.
D2 versus
semi-pro.
Semi-pro. Yeah.
Do you think you could strike out Chuck Horn Jerry?
Oh! I
thank you for the call, Chris.
I would hope I'd be able to get out.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I would hope so. Again, I've lost all count. I'm like Alvarado right now.
Yeah. I would like to see it.
For a guy who brings up his pitching days
up high school.
Yeah.
You bring it up, but you don't have much confidence in your ability to throw a baseball right now.
No, I don't. Yeah. Well, the other problem is that people mock me when I bring up my baseball career. So, like, I try not to make it about me.
Well, Polk High, you bring it up all the time.
Polk High,
sometimes I think it's funny.
Yeah. All right.
See, you're that guy that talks about what he did in high school.
Good old days.
Just because I never lost a high school playoff game does not mean. Like, some guys have clutch genes, some guys don't.
I keep thinking of the different afternoon show T-shirts. One that is a high school varsity jacket. Jack's high school varsity jacket also be a good T-shirt.
I like it.
Oh, yeah, that's a good T-shirt for sure.
So coming up next.
2 years varsity.
Yep.
Love that guy.
Coming up next, you know, we missed out on a perfect Jalen Hurts.
Oh, preseason. Damn.
He did throw an interception today. However, we will talk about the implications.
Yeah, let's talk about something that makes us happy.
Yes.
Of the Eagles.
Of his preseason and what the record means moving forward with Elliott Shore Parks. That'll be next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're in media for Tor Delco Dining Under the Stars. We are right here, like right next to the sidewalk, right next to Spasso. Providence Animal Center here till 4 o'clock with a little puppy minnow who is yet to be adopted, which is a shame. By the way,
come on out.
They will be here till 4. And you also have your chance to show up, put your name in the hat to be in the WIP Afternoon Show Fantasy Football League. Remember, you got to be available for the draft. But if you stop by, you have a chance to actually be in the league. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From his home.
It's a WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Big day.
Yeah. Tor Delco stops in media today for Dining Under the Stars. Mm-hmm. They are going to shut down State Street at 6 p.m. so you can dine outside in the heart of media. Details, visit mediapa.com. It is a beautiful day.
Yeah. What's your go-to star constellation?
Huh?
What?
Are you a Big Dipper guy?
Yeah, I'd say a Big Dipper guy.
Not Little Dipper?
Nah, Big Dipper guy. I mean, you're a Little Dipper. You're a little... Ike?
What?
Big Dipper? Little Dipper?
Oh, come on, man.
Okay. All right. Elliot, you a Big Dipper guy? Little Dipper guy? What are you?
Constellations just seem so fake to me. Like, we just look up there and decide that they're an image. I'm not in on constellations.
Oh, would you stop? You're unbelievable.
I went Star Wars last week, and my sister said that was the, like, I don't even know what it was. But you can just draw anything you want.
Okay, Elliot, before we get to the before we get to the record, Elliot, am I allowed to bring up what you texted me about last night?
Oh, absolutely. I almost brought it up yesterday, but I didn't know if it was on-air stuff. So if you want to bring it up, sure.
All right, you know, let that be a tease. Let's talk about Jalen.
Okay.
And Elliot texted me maybe the most insane question I've ever been texted in my entire life.
Okay.
So Jalen Hurts threw an interception today. His interceptionless streak stops at 305, a training camp record that he broke his own record.
Yep.
But
which we didn't know about.
Elliot, could you paint the picture of the interception today? How did it go down? What was the reaction? Everything. Paint the picture for us.
I mean, it was legitimately a huge moment at training camp. So walking into practice today, as always, you know, lots of people asking, what's he at? Is today the streak? Lots of media members asking, you know, is he going to have the perfect practice? Obviously, he smashed the record already. And the 305 certainly goes down as a huge number in Philly sports, you know, record. But this was about perfection. This was about the perfect training camp. So four throws into practice. So early on, he dropped back, was probably about 20 yards out from the end zone, threw the ball over the middle. And out of nowhere, Darius Slay jumped in front of it, caught it, and ran that thing all the way back to the opposite end. So the entire defense ran with him. He may or may not have pointed at me when he made the interception. And it was the defense went wild. And players talked after practice about how they knew that he had not thrown an interception. Darius Slay brought up the, you know, 300-plus attempts. Reed Blankenship talked about it. So they clearly came into this day wanting to stop Jalen from having the perfect training camp. And they did. So he ended the day 23 of 30, three touchdowns. But for the first time in camp, the one interception.
Well, I tell you, I was wondering when somebody on defense was going to get pissed off about this.
Yes, and be enough already.
Yeah, like, I was wondering, in all good nature, fun, and everything, Jalen having a great training camp, there's nothing wrong with that, but there is a competitive side of me that says, I'm tired of hearing about Jalen Hurts not throwing an interception against my defense, and what is my defense doing about it, right? So I'm wondering, at some point, was somebody going to be upset about this and decide to go ahead and make a play? They made a play on the last day of training camp, so I'm glad Big Play Slay stepped up and did something. Are you kidding me? You think Troy and Bobby would allow this to go on?
In your day?
Yeah, a whole training
you
camp.
You think Jim Johnson?
John Dawkins. Woo, Jim Johnson would have been started throwing the house at Donovan. Yeah, if we would have went through 3, 4, 5 straight practices without any turnovers, without getting the ball, that was something that he preached. So, in part, I was kind of concerned that, man, is Coach Fangio, are we preaching take the ball away from the other team? This should be a priority of ours, to get 3 turnovers every game. And the fact that we hadn't got a turnover the entire training camp, that's great for the offense. It's not great for the defense, though. It's not. I don't care what anybody says. That's not great for the defense when a quarterback can sit back there and you haven't come up with tip balls, some type of play that makes him turn the ball over. Even the great quarterbacks turn the ball over against good defenses. So while it's great for Jalen, it made me more concerned about our secondary that we hadn't come up with an interception the entire training camp.
Yeah, I agree. But I also think the flip side of that is it speaks to how amazing what he accomplished was. I mean, 305 straight throws is absurd. Because you're right. Normally in training camp, there's tip passes, or especially early on in camp, when you're learning a new offense and you have a new running back, he goes right and you think he's going left. Or the receiver reads the coverage one way, so he sits in zone and you think he's going to, you know, keep going. So the fact that none of those things happened is amazing. But of the 331 throws that he had in camp, I honestly think only one of them was intercepted. The other one was dropped. But of those throws, he really didn't put the ball in harm's way very much. So I agree with you. You know, you were obviously in camp for a lot of years with a ton of great players. This is not something you see often. So it's disappointing he didn't get the perfect training camp, but it certainly still is a historic one.
All right, Elliot, I think it's sort of a two-pronged question here. What is a bigger deal? Jalen Hurts going 305 training camp passes without an interception, or you turning this into an actual talking point that was talked about, obviously, among players, national media, and the other beat writers who I'm sure made fun of you for years have now all jumped on it. So who had the bigger accomplishment here, Jalen Hurts or Elliott Shore Parks?
Yeah, I mean, I like to think we did it together, right? I mean, you know, it's Tommy and me, with Ray, in a few years, you know, maybe there can be a play about this, about, you know, charting this historic accomplishment. So, you know, me and Jalen.
I like that idea.
Sounds like a riveting play.
Yeah.
It would be really exciting and long. I mean, maybe, 16. But, yeah, me and Jalen haven't talked about it. But, no, I think it was certainly exciting what happened.
Well, hopefully when you guys talk, it goes better than me and Trey.
Yes. Yeah. Although,
well, Elliot's not going to stand there tapping him on the chest like you did with Trey.
For that. But I will say that when he threw the interception today, there was some, you know, saying it wasn't an interception, he was sacked or whatever. No. We can all interpret what we want from the play. Only I get to decide whether it was an interception. So that is what
so,
it is.
So, Elliot, and this will be the last football question I have for you, because then I have to bring up the other thing you brought up to me.
Yeah.
Truthfully and honestly, how much – because I want to talk about this with Ike after as well, too. How much of an indicator, truly, about Jalen Hurts' grasp of the offense, Jalen Hurts' upcoming season, how much of an indicator do you think his training camp performance this year is as in a bigger picture sense?
So I don't think training camp is always a pure indicator of what a player will be. I've covered a lot of training camp, and there have been years where, you know, I thought Carson had a really good 2020 training camp. Obviously, his season did not turn out that way. But I think
that team stunk.
Yeah, the team was terrible, and it was a COVID training camp, so, you know, whatever. But regardless, there are certainly years where we leave camp and, you know, as a media, we're talking about this guy's going to be awesome and then he's not. But overall, most times, a training camp is an indicator of it. Like, it can show it. In 2017, Carson's training camp, which I think is still the gold standard, I left that saying Carson's going to be special. I leave this training camp with Jalen thinking that he is definitely changed from last year. I think he is smarter with the football. He seems to be in a better place. He's making smart decisions. I don't think Jalen is all of a sudden going to be Patrick Mahomes, but I do think it seems to have really hit home with him that how he played last year wasn't the correct style, and I think stylistically he is going to look different this year.
And I think the positive reinforcement from training camp success that he's having with the offense has put him in a better place mentally. It's one of those things, you know, which come first, the chicken or the egg? We never really do get an answer for that, but yeah, it's a question that's perplexing to a lot of people. Yeah. But him being in a good frame of mind is allowing him to come to work every day excited about working with his teammates, excited about being an Eagle, excited about being a leader of this team, and I think it's rubbing off on the rest of the team. That stuff matters, man. That stuff matters. Last year, I don't know, distractions, pressure, living up to the contract after the loss in the Super Bowl, all that stuff, he wasn't right, in my opinion, mentally, going into the season last year. He never seemed to be enjoying the season, enjoying his success. You didn't see the smile on the face, the short answers in the press conferences, the whole, and you're hiding it behind Mamba mentality, and I'm serious. Like, no, that didn't rub off the right way on his teammates. And for some other people in the city, it didn't rub them the right way. He just seems to be in a different place this year. And I think that has allowed a lot of us to be in a different place mentally coming into the season, particularly his teammates. There's a lot of positivity coming out of that locker room when I hear interviews with guys about Jalen's personality this year and some of the minor differences in what they see from him. I think he's set to have a big season. We'll see how far this team can go from an overall standpoint. But as far as Jalen goes, I think he's set to be back to being what he was in 2022, if not better. Because it's a better offense around him than it was in 2022.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I mean, the last thing I would say about that is to how he needed this camp. I don't think they lost complete faith in Jalen last year, but I do think from the front office to the locker room, they were surprised at what Jalen they got last year. And so to have a training camp where they can just look and see. I mean, again, the training camp stats are what they are, but 25 touchdowns to one interception. I think it's important. Jalen needed to get people to buy back in to the fact that he could be the guy, and I think that's what he accomplished in camp.
Yeah.
All right, Elliot. So are you guys ready for the question that Elliot asked me?
Yes.
Okay, so I pull up to my home.
Okay.
Yeah, I could give you a billion guesses, and you would never guess it. So I pull up to my home. I see I have a text message from Elliot. So Elliot is texting me this at, 8 o'clock at night, 8:30 at night. And he said, I have an absurd movie question that I've been debating, and I think you would be good for it. Okay. A movie question that he has been debating.
Okay.
So this discussion has happened in other places. Okay. I say, okay, shoot. He said, I watched Back to the Future for the first time, and the entire movie topic is how his mom wants to hook up with him back in 1955 or whatever.
Oh, is that what it's about?
But I truly don't believe it is his mom. She has not given birth to him yet. So he could hook up with her if he wanted. It just might kill him, but it isn't incest. So...
It sounds worse when you read it.
Over it does sound worse when you read it.
So if Marty goes back to 1955 and sleeps with his mother before the mother ever is pregnant with him.
Awesome.
Is this...
Awesome. Yep, just the thought of it.
Any opinions here?
This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life, man. Yes, it's incest. What is wrong with you, Elliot? Yes. Yes, no, it's incest. Yes. Sounds it may be worse than incest. It may be worse than that.
Yeah.
It's not his mom. His mom. That the.
It is his mom. What are you talking about? It is his mom.
Has that woman in 1955 given birth?
Well, guess what? If they were to have sex and become in some sort of relationship, did you see him disappear in the picture?
Yes, but that implies.
Well, it was a reason why that happened, because that meant that she wouldn't have the ability to have him.
Correct. But what I'm saying is, the fact that he disappears in that picture shows that he is not yet his mom. Because like, she has to become his mom, right? That's why he has to stop the dad. That's why he has to stop Buzz from, like, dating
it's
her.
It's Biff, right? Not Buzz. Biff. It's Biff.
Don't drag Buzz into this.
I'm already upset. You're just now seeing Back to the Future. It's 1985, well, man.
When I'm sick, I like to watch old movies because they're easy to fall
asleep. Well, here's...
Go ahead. Well, I mean, so here's... But, like, it's just not.
Well, but see, here's where we ended up. Is that if there was... If they tested the 1955 version of his mom, a maternity test, whether she was the mother,
yeah,
it would come back yes. And my point to him also is if they have a child, since they share DNA,
yes,
that would be a problem.
Yes.
So it is the mother, even though she's not the mother yet.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
seven toes, three arms. Yes. All of that. Yeah. Yes.
So I was thinking about this since then. And like,
good.
Are
of
we
course
sure
you are.
That Marty has her DNA when he goes back then? Like,
yes. Because, yes. Okay. Yes.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. Why do we not? Again, why does he not have her DNA?
Because he hasn't been created yet in some ways. Like he has been created. But
yes,
not, but
she's created. That's God.
So I'm saying, if he disappears in the picture based on what happens, and that is an implication,
yes,
that she is not yet a mother. Right?
No, that is the implication that she won't be able to have him. He won't be born.
Correct. And if it is not a foregone conclusion that Marty will be born, then she is not yet a mother.
Well, she's definitely not a mother at that time, yes.
But she
yes,
is...
that's my point. Yes,
no.
That's not his mom.
I think...
No, it is his mom, but she's just not a...
If she's not a mother, how can it be his mom?
Because the movie is called Back to the Future. He went to the... Dude... I'm not about to do this with him, man.
Okay.
Everybody out here has seen that movie at least 20 times already in their life. Just because you're just now watching it in 2024, man.
Well, so what do we think? I'm just going to – everyone give me – raise your hand if you think it would be incest. Yeah, everyone thinks
yes,
it is.
Come on, man.
Welcome to the show. This is what we do all the time.
I wonder if they would feel the same.
Oh, yeah. All right, that's enough. Elliot Shorefars, I got rid of him. Elliot,
oh my God.
You can listen to the Go Birds podcast, which comes out every morning, a little 15-minute bite size, which you can get the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. The other thing I tried to, and you guys are not going to want to discuss this, but the thing I tried to express to him is that in some movies, they talk about time travel as that time is sort of a circle and is not linear, so everything is happening all the time. So it would always be his mother. Like that's what Arrival was about. Arrival,
yes,
was – so I think it's an interesting question, and it's actually the first time we've ever said the I word on this show.
Right.
Yeah.
And might will probably be the last
time. It will
time.
Be the last.
Yeah, I think. But
well, it sounds like a good question.
I mean, how many gummies did he have during this conversation?
No.
Like what was he doing? Not with you. I mean,
yeah,
with him and his buddies. Like, what is going on here?
Elliot needs to be – people think I'm a contrarian. Elliot needs to be arguing about something
about
all
something,
the time.
Yes.
So it finally, he got to the end of the road. He had argued about literally everything. You know, it was finally he got past, you know, who was a better boy band, Backstreet Boys or NSYNC.
Right.
If the Wizard of Oz, if you should have ever seen Oz earlier in the movie. He got through literally everything. And then finally at the end, he was like, Is it incest if Marty sleeps with his mom before she has him? You know, that, it was literally the last question he could have asked.
My God.
So yeah. The Twitter question. What's that?
Jackie Onassis was a victim of that.
Jackie O talk.
Yeah, yeah, we're getting everything here. Yeah. So the Twitter question is brought to you by Morris Jewelers. Do you want to throw this one up?
We always like audience participation.
Yeah, it's all good.
Awesome. I think we should ask Robbie the question.
Yes, that's the first question. It's part of the Delco quiz. The Twitter question is brought to you by Morris Jewelers, the official sponsor of the WIP Afternoon Show Fantasy Football League. Shop the home team at Morris-Jewelers.com. What's the bigger accomplishment, Wilt scoring 100 or Jalen's 305 training camp passes without an INT? Ike, would you like to guess on the percentages on this one?
I would go with 95% Wilt Chamberlain.
64% Wilt Chamberlain.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, they know one happened.
Yeah.
They witnessed it.
Yeah.
They didn't see this.
When Walker is hosting on WIP.
Yeah, so who is a more reliable person here? Is it Harvey Pollack or is it Elliot Shore Parks, who are the two most legendary statisticians in the history of Philadelphia? Well, let me ask you this about the Jalen thing. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter a little bit, doesn't matter some, doesn't matter a lot. Jalen Hurts's, you know, training camp performance. Where do you sit with it?
I think it matters a lot.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think it matters a lot. When you're coming off a season where, you know, you uncharacteristically don't play to the level in which you're accustomed to playing, making decisions at the rate in which he was making decisions last year that often led to, you know, bad plays at times. He just didn't play like himself. And I'm sure if you ask him, he didn't play up to the level of his standards, which he set for himself. And so instead of using all the excuses of poor coaching and all this other stuff, I can just simply look at decision making and whether or not he's played at the level he played the year before, where he allowed the offense to sort of come to him naturally. And last year it seemed like at times he forced the issue in certain areas when he was trying to press, especially late in the season when things weren't going well. And then when you hear about them simplifying the offense. Well, who did they simplify the offense for late in the year?
Right. Well, I mean, him.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
people talk about, why did they have to simplify the offense?
Right. And you know what? I think a lot of people take that as, well, you're calling him dumb and blah, 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 blah. But that's the truth.
Yes.
Is that he is the one that we'll have to simplify for, because, by the way, he and the center have the most to know and the most to learn.
Yep.
And I would say I'm sort of split on it, right? I think from a Jalen Hurts the guy, Jalen Hurts the leader, Jalen Hurts, all of those non-specific football things, I think it's big. You know, and I also think, you know, whether we say it's 20% new offense or 95% new offense, there is a lot that is new with Kellen Moore as opposed to what they were doing last year.
I actually can't wait to see it.
Yeah, so
I had a Green Bay game. I don't know what the hell is new. I can't tell in these.
Well, if you just
preseason games.
If you just look at him historically, now we don't know how he's going to call a game now, mm-hmm. but historically what he does, it throws more early and downs more, all those things. The only thing that all of those things in terms of a vibe, I am A+. I didn't expect it from him, and I think he should be, you know, praised for that.
Yep.
The thing that I am a little curious about is, and we've touched on it a couple of times, is he being risk averse for, like, to a fault? Right, and is that
right.
So it was the thing that
it's a balance.
And when what's his name on Fox, Nick Wright, Wright brought up he hasn't thrown enough interceptions, everybody sort of goes, oh, hot take. Mm-hmm. But I think it is worth it to wonder, you know, what, because I didn't
why
see all
th- no yes. I agree with you. I had the thought too. I didn't go scorched earth on Nick Wright. You see, I didn't even respond to it because there is some truth to that from a logical standpoint.
Yep.
You're basically making safe throws so that you don't turn the ball over. I don't know if that's a negative until we get into a game.
Right.
Because I don't want a quarterback to be reckless with the ball, but at the same time, you do have to make some tight window throws at times.
Yeah. And no, none of us think he is going to go from a 32 pass a game guy to a, you know, a gunslinger guy.
Right.
So truthfully, a lot of what he has to do, and we were talking about this yesterday with Elliot, is game managed to an extent, mm-hmm. right? Is not make mistakes, because if he throws 7 interceptions last year instead of 15, it's a different season.
It's a totally different season.
It's a different season.
Totally different season.
So a lot of what he has to do, because they have so many weapons, is just not put the ball in harm's way. Now, you don't want to do it to a fault mm-hmm. where you're throwing 3-yard passes every time and throwing the ball away. But I think from an on-field perspective, I think there's some to be seen about what this means. But from an off-field perspective, I think it means a lot.
Well, here I'll also add this in there, because he can't be left out of this. Kellen Moore is a huge part of this equation. How he divvies up the football on the offensive side of the ball. Like, Nick Sirianni, once the season starts, we only focus on him as far as having this team prepared and ready to go every Sunday. But as far as the game plans, the play calling, being smart in game, managing the game, that's on Vic Fangio and Kellen Moore. Kellen Moore, to me, has the most pressure on him. He's been given a Ferrari to drive. How is he going to drive it? How is he going to be reckless with it? Is he going to get Saquon the football? Or is he going to try to prove he's smart, smarter than everybody else, going to have Jalen throw the ball 35, 40 times a game?
Right. And when all the mouths to feed, you
right.
know, keeping
exactly.
everybody happy.
So yeah. Kellen is the one who really has the hardest job of trying to keep the offensive players happy, keep a good offense out there. Oh, and by the way, don't put that defense out there in bad positions. Because, see, the defense needs time to grow as a unit. But if you're a coach that wants to come out there and throw, and we're going 3 and out, and next thing you know, the defense has to go back on the field, well, that's on you.
Right.
As an offensive play caller.
Right.
That's what they mean by playing complementary football. It's not just run and pass. It's also managing the clock. And if you have a defense that you know isn't necessarily – up to par just yet, then you got to have a little bit more of a ball controlled offense so that your defense doesn't have to play as much, and they can play with a lead.
Right.
So I think, like, Kellen Moore to me has the biggest and most important job on the team this year outside of Jalen. Jalen has to operate it, but Kellen Moore is the one who has to call the plays and design the offense.
How big a deal do you think Jalen Hurts' training camp performance has been? 215-592-9494. Coming up next.
You still hear Jackie Baseball?
Yeah, a lot of football.
Coming up next. Yeah. Coming up next, we will – well, you weighed in on the incest.
Well, yeah, we gave
thing.
You an hour and a half with the Phillies.
Yeah. So, no, I like the football talk. It's good.
So coming up next, we've given out the Delco quiz twice.
Yes.
Ben Davis passed.
Devin Caney failed miserably.
But she did the pledge, so she's good.
Yeah, she's in.
I did a new quiz because I felt like Rob Ellis deserved a new quiz.
Yes.
So we have a 10-question quiz where Rob Ellis ends up deciding, or the quiz decides, whether Rob Ellis is officially Delco. Mm. It would be crushing if that was a no.
I got to tell you, out of all the people who work at the station and the ones that are from Delco in the Delco area, Rob Ellis is the one.
Number one.
I think he'll do fine.
He is the number one seed as a Delco man. It's a lot of pressure on you, Rob. Or maybe it's not. Maybe you come in and answer these questions with no problem. I'm just saying, I think the Delaware Valley, Delco personally, and certainly a lot of your fans would be disappointed if you don't do better than Ben Davis on this test.
Yeah, he's the people's champ.
And Ben wound up with 6 out of 10,
yeah,
right?
No pressure. Yeah. Rob's furious.
You'll be fine. You got it. Ben got 6 out of 10. Devin got 1 out of 7.
Ben was so mad.
Devin got 1 out of 7.
I think she's 2 out of 7.
2 out of 7.
Yeah, and Ben even got so mad he went home
and did some homework.
And came back a week later disputing the quiz.
Yeah, he was like, you know, there's actually a Wawa where you said there wasn't a Wawa. So so that'll be next. Minnow's going back to the shelter. We have not had an adopter for Minnow.
No.
But I have kept my pledge to pay for Minnow's adoption fee. So if you weren't able to get out here to see Minnow from Providence Animal Center, she is going back to the shelter. She is a puppy. She's adorable. What is she? She looks like she's maybe a I don't know. I'm bad at dog breeds. I don't know. She looks adorable. So she will be back at Province Animal Center. Thank you for coming out to Tour de Delco as well. But we will be back with Rob. That is next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.